I just said the gospel of the Lord, and you said, praise to you, Lord Christ. Are you sure about that? Were you listening to that at all? None of you can become my disciples unless you give up all your possessions. None of you can be my disciples unless you give up all your possessions. Well, it appears to me the jig is up. Because you do not look like you look really nice today. You do not look like you have given up all your possessions. And from the look of my garage on the way out of my house today, nor have I. None of you can be my disciple unless you give up all my possessions. Well, you know, Episcopalians are not inclined to grab pieces of scripture, put them on bumper stickers, and put them on their car and say that's the end of the gig. So let's do what Episcopalians do when we hit a sentence like this and say, what do we think is happening here? Why did Jesus say this? What's going on? So to do so, I want to back into it. I want to go backwards in this story and back several weeks in the story and even jump to another story. But before we do that, I think it's important to note what Jesus did not say. He did not say, none of you can be my disciples unless you give up all your possessions and give them to me. He did not say, or give them to my cause. In fact, he had no comment here about where you're supposed to go with them. What are you supposed to do with them? So clearly, this is not the con man shyster game that has been the game since the beginning of the game that we can all spot coming a mile away and that we are encouraged to turn away from always. Anyone who says, you take what is yours and give it to me and I will now control the show, you need to run away from. This is not what Jesus said. He said, none of you can be my disciples unless you give up all your possessions. So let's back up. In this particular story, just as it starts, it says that a large group of people were following Jesus. Right? So that means that the beginning of the gospel where he is healing the sick and he is casting out demons has caught people's attention. And it looks like this is something I want to be a part of, yes? I want to be a part of someone who can give me this, who can heal my problems and take care of me. Maybe there's some benefit to me. And so with this crowd that's following along, he throws this warning. This is a cross. So we back it up to the lectionary leaves out one of the important stories, which is the one immediately before this, which is the story where Jesus tells about a king who throws a great banquet. And he invites all the right people. He writes the who's who. He invites the who's who guest list. But all of them are unavailable. They are busy. And if you look at the story, they're busy dealing with their stuff. My stuff. And so the king gets angry and clears that guest list and creates a totally new guest list of people who have time because they don't have stuff. And they come to his party. Then last week, we heard Jesus tell a parable about if you're invited to a dinner party. There's lots of dinner parties in this part of the gospel. If you're invited to a dinner party, if you're invited to a dinner party, don't take the highest seat. Don't grab it for yourself. Instead, sit in the lowest seat and wait for someone to come ask you to move to the higher seat. So you're honored. Otherwise, you're going to be kind of embarrassed if they come and say, hey, move. You're not that honored. And then he says, when you throw a party, don't invite the who's who's guest list. Invite the people who can't pay you back, who cannot in turn throw a party in return. So I think we're getting a glimpse of what's happening. there's this, even while I'm talking, I mean, even while I was writing this sermon, I felt my body doing this, right? This grasping, you know, my material possessions. What is in this story that I'm grasping for? An invitation to the party, to be in, to receive, to take what Jesus has. And you feel, I just feel this, right? And Jesus even says in this gospel lesson, you must hate your brother and your sister and your mother and your father, your siblings, even life itself. What? And when he says that, I do this. I want to say that, but they're my. It's my sister. It's my mother. It's my father. It's my children. It's my Caleb, my Colton, my Caroline, my Chris. Now I think we're getting a glimpse into what Jesus is talking about. Do you feel this? This grasping, this clinging, this holding. There's a desperation to it, isn't there? A fear. Now I'm going to jump. Let's jump to the lesson that we heard of Philemon. You heard the whole thing, by the way. That's the whole book of Philemon, except for a little love you, see you later at the very end of the book, right? The rest of it, you've heard the whole thing. And it's a curious story. And it's hard because it's about slavery. But it's not the chattel slavery of which we are all familiar, but it is first century slavery, but it's slavery nonetheless. This man is not free. He does not own his own life. And he meets Paul somehow. Paul's in prison. He's an old man. He's in prison. And he meets this guy named Onesimus. And Onesimus has become a good friend of Paul's, as he says in that letter. He has become very important to him and helpful to him. I don't know how they met. Maybe they were both in prison. We don't know anything about how they became friends. But Onesimus becomes a believer through Paul. And then Onesimus, I guess, gets out and he has to go back to his owner, Philemon, who Paul also knows. Philemon knows him. I mean, Paul knows Philemon because he is the leader of a house church. And so Paul writes to him as a fellow believer. And it's a quick note. I mean, like jotted down on the way out the door. Hey, take this with you. And he says that this man was of no use to you before. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Why? Because he was a slave. Because he wasn't there by choice. So he was no actual use to you. But he's been a great use to me because he was here because he wanted to be. And I want you to receive him back. But do not receive him back as a slave. All right? Do not receive him back as a slave. Receive him back as a brother. See just the physics. See that just how that feeling that just opens. It's like not as someone bound, but as someone who is free to come back on their own and embrace them as a brother. Now I think we're getting somewhere. I think at least I feel like physically I feel like we're getting somewhere. I think if this is a text, is an invitation for us to think about this. This grasping that we do. This holding on to things. My family, my stuff, my life. Hold on to it. And to think about what that is, what that desperate feeling is. How we just don't want to let it go. And it's an invitation to release our arms from around that, to release ourselves and see what happens. All of a sudden, I'm not laden down with all the things to which I'm grasping. If I open my arms, they can live their own life. The people can live their own life. And we can be in relationship with each other. But they're not mine. In the sense of mine. They're mine. This is true for our material possessions and true for the people and the relationships in our lives. Think about the relationships in your lives. If you're a parent, think about your own children. If your parents are still alive, think about your parents. Think about what happens when we do this. We can almost feel the life squeezing out, right? But what happens when we do this? Make no mistake, this is as hard for me as it is for you. My daughter is 24 years old. She lives in Dallas. She's a grown woman. She works in a hospital. There are people's lives in her hands every single day. But every time she comes to visit, when she leaves the house, everything in me wants to go, no. Come back here. You're mine. You're mine. But what happens if that actually happens? What happens to her? What happens to me? What do I think is going to happen if I do this? Well, she's going to be free, right? She's going to live her own life. She's going to make her own mistakes. She's going to make her own success. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. This is a huge act of trust, isn't it? Maybe that's what Jesus is asking us to do, is to open your arms, for goodness sakes, release your grip and see what God does. See what God does. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.